Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Would you please tell him that instead of presents this year, I just want my family back.
Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
It must be magic.
I must find some way to keep Christmas from coming.
Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
True, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing.
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Tis the podcast that is determined to keep the spirit of Christmas alive 365 days a year. I'm Tom.
I'm Julia.
And I'm Anthony.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. How's everyone doing?
Living the dream, y'all.
Living the dream.
1 year older.
Yep, 1 year older. I've officially entered my late 30s.
Oh, yeah. How was your birthday, Tom?
It was pretty magical. I made a delicious vegan roast. I spent the day with Ellie, except when she went with her mama to bake a pumpkin cake for me.
How did it turn out?
Amazing. It was so good.
Sounds good.
Did Ellie get to pick out your gift? I love hearing the gifts Ellie picks out after last Christmas when she got the cat for Christine.
Yeah.
She did not, because they're not going shopping anywhere. She did pick out the cake, though. She saw when Christine was doing the shipped order, she saw a cake with a pumpkin, and she's like, oh, Daddy loves pumpkin. Let's do that.
So. Oh, that's so sweet.
I don't know if she posted it in our Facebook group or if it was just on her personal page, but Michelle Kidwell posted these amazing looking pumpkin chocolate chip cookies, and they looked magical.
Yep. And she just did good old fashioned pumpkin pie too.
Yeah. She just made that. Yep.
She's feeling the season, isn't she?
I'm feeling the season too. I did a lot of Halloween stuff this past weekend.
Ooh, what'd you do? Spooky pictures on your feed.
What did I do? I decorated for Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I went to Letchworth Village and did some exploring. Do y'all know what Letchworth Village is?
No, but it looks terrifying by your posts.
It was a residential institution located in Rockland County, just like, you know, half an hour from where I live, that was built for physically and mentally disabled people of all ages. And it opened in 1911. Had over 130 buildings spread out at its peak. But because of inadequate funding and improper care, dating back to like the 20s, and accounts surfaced of residents being found unclothed and unbathed and neglected, there's a lot of abuse, and the staff suffered abuse at the hand of their coworkers. So in 96, it was closed down, and all of its buildings fell into like disrepair and decay. And the people who work there who are still alive, like, refuse to speak of their experiences. So, you know those weird insert state books? It's featured prominently in Weird New York. It's supposedly one of the most haunted places now in the state. There's, like, a mass grave on the ground somewhere where all the patients without kin were buried who died at the hospital. And, yeah, there's some really good documentaries on it on YouTube. And Travel Channel did a few, like Ghost Adventures. And American Horror Story fans, season 2, the Asylum season, was influenced by Letchworth in large part.
Whoa.
That's horrifying.
But it's really cool to walk around. I mean, really scary. I mean, the buildings are like beautiful in like a sad type of way.
Right. But,
you're not really even supposed to technically go in the buildings, but everyone does. Like, at some point, they welded all the doors shut, but, you know, the doors are, like, axed open, and, like, the glass is, like, broken, so you can get in. So we went in
a few of them. Extra scarier.
Yeah. So we went in a few of them. We went into one, and there were all these gurneys just lying around, and another one, this didn't happen last time, but you'll see in the documentary, the main building where the morgue is. So you go down this dark hallway with no light. So, I mean, there's no light anywhere except what the natural light coming through the windows and, like, your flashlight's not even enough on your phone to illuminate the darkness. Like, I got really good pictures just because of the iPhone 11 has an amazing camera. It was able to lighten them up a bit. But you go into this really dark, long hallway to the morgue, and people, the Travel Channel interviewed these people who just go there to lie there all the time in the body things to communicate with the spirits. So, like, you go into these buildings, you run into some weird, freaky people sometimes.
Did you run into any weird, freaky people?
In the buildings this time, no. We have in the past run into people. Like, last time we were there a few years ago, like, we kept hearing, like, bumping, like, upstairs. So, of course, a coward in me is like, we are in the building if anyone is here, because I don't want to, like, scare anyone.
I love it.
But the grounds, like, it used to be 130 acres, but now, like, a road goes through the grounds, and there's a golf course built over some of the grounds, and a school, and this church. So, a lot of people there go, like, walking or running the grounds, their dogs and stuff. But so it's always kind of like, there are always people around, just not in the buildings. But yeah, check out my pictures. I posted it in the Tis the Podcast group and on my social media pages, and it's really spooky. It's really cool, though.
What's the pit with a bridge going down into it?
With a ladder. So that was the old electric plant building, and I didn't go down that. I did not want to see what was down in that tunnel. That was the one building. I mean, you know, you're not supposed to trespass in any of the buildings, but that was the one where every window is like, no trespassing, no trespassing, no trespassing. That was the one.
That's scary.
That is scary.
And we also went to Untermeyer Gardens this past Park and Gardens on Friday, which is located in Yonkers. It's a city park. It was a remnant of Samuel Untermeyer's 150-acre Greystone estate. It overlooks the river. It's like beautiful. It looks like one of these old European parks with pillars and statues and everything. It's cool. It was very pretty. I posted pictures of that on my personal page as well. Although that had a slightly Halloween aspect to it too, because apparently in the 70s, Son of Sam and a bunch of Satan worshippers and the park was in disrepair, used to kill German shepherds in one of those old buildings on the land. So people used to report torches and chanting coming from there in the 70s, back when Son of Sam was running around. So, I mean, it's down the street from where he used to live. So, but yeah. So I did a lot of fun Halloween-y stuff this weekend.
You
so
really did.
I am in the spirit. I'm wearing my Great Pumpkin Believer shirt right now. I'm all in for fall right now, y'all.
You found your sincere pumpkin patch yet?
I did not find my sincere pumpkin patch yet.
I thought I was going to have one, but my pumpkin plants died.
Oh.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Sad.
So we won't see the Great Pumpkin this year.
Do you want me to come dress up as the Great Pumpkin for Ellie so she still believes?
Do you know what the Great Pumpkin looks like?
It looks like a pumpkin with Snoopy's shadow on top of it. Yes, I know what it looks like.
Oh, is that what it's supposed to be? That's funny.
So while I'm all in for fall, my mom's all in for Christmas. So since they bought a place in Florida and are going down there next month for a bit, which don't get me started.
Gross.
They've started decorating there because they have such a big house and so much Christmas stuff. They started putting up trees already. And she posted, I think tonight, a picture of one of her smaller trees in the Facebook room. So she's all in for Christmas right now.
Can't blame her.
I didn't do anything that exciting, but we did buy pumpkins.
Won't they die before Halloween?
No.
Well,
I've maybe you'll
carve them, they will.
I'll just buy some more.
We don't carve them.
You don't carve them?
No.
Well, we'll carve some later. I like carving them. I have a little pumpkin carving Dremel set.
Oh, yeah, we've got that same Dremel set.
It's pretty rad.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It saves you some serious time.
It does. I tried it with another Dremel, like a full Dremel, but that's a bit on the intense side. Did anybody watch the Apple event today?
No.
No.
I want the new watch. That's all I have to say.
I'm due for a new watch. Pulse Ox. I have Generation 1.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my Generation 1 stopped working a long time ago. It just stopped holding a charge.
What do you love about this new watch?
An oximeter.
Ooh.
So now you can do your heart rate, a very rudimentary version of an EKG, and get your oximeter.
That's awesome.
So all those people terrified about wearing a mask and what it does to their breathing can quickly
help
their fears
assuaged.
So I have a follow-up on our Kiss Kiss Bang Bang episode.
Oh, yeah?
We talked about how Val Kilmer has throat cancer and can't really speak now, right?
Mm-hmm. But
he
has
all these movies coming out. Well, my cousin Christine, who I did not know listened to the show with her one-year-old daughter every week. By the way, side note, Christine is awesome. She's my favorite cousin-in-law. Always has been. She's the cream of the crop in terms of my cousin's spouses. So, hi, Christine. She texted me about Val Kilmer after that episode dropped and said, what did she say? She said, I became very invested in Val Kilmer's speaking progress after the recent podcast, and now I know a lot about him. Short story, apparently he's been doing a lot of vocal exercises that he learned from his time at Juilliard, and that was able to give him back his voice, at least to an extent he can now talk, just not for long periods of time. Or,
gosh.
So, well, that's exciting.
So
you went to Juilliard?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So the man can talk, so he won't be silent in his movies. Not saying he'll have a lot of dialogue, but...
Right. But he could do it.
He can do it.
Leaving the door open. I like it.
Good for him.
Did y'all see the trailer for The Mandalorian Season 2?
Yes.
I'm excited.
I am so excited.
I'm so excited.
It looks so good. It looks so good.
I loved when he said, where I go, he goes. Like,
it was adorable.
Love that,
too. And I think you were the one who said, Julie, I gave you chills. It gave me total chills.
Yeah, I got total full-body chills.
There are X-Wings in it, and it seems like there's going to be a Jedi in it this season. And
oh, yeah. You want me to deliver him to what does he say? Like a group of evil sorcerers or wizards or whatever he says.
Yeah, and then he says, you know, the Jedi and the Mandalorians never got along.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm super excited.
I can't wait.
Can't wait. And
Baby Yoda looks cute as ever.
So precious.
He is so precious.
He really is.
Sure. And did you all see the chart teaser for the Santa Chronicles 2?
Yes.
I also saw your trash talking on Discord.
No. You know what? That was taken out of context. I wasn't trash talking. I said no one should be forgiving of the bad CGI of those elves. That's what I said. I'm sorry. Those elves are bad CGI. And this movie could be great. I hope this movie's great. I want to love it, especially Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn and Belschnickel in this movie and a beautiful looking North Pole. But this movie can be great and still going to lose a point or two for me because of those bad CGI elves. They look as bad, if not worse, as those live action Smurf and Alvin and the Chipmunk movies. And there's no excuse for that.
Oh, yeah. Those are bad.
And, we got an update on Hocus Pocus 2 today. The original witches are officially in talks to rejoin. It's the first confirmation they're officially in talks to rejoin the franchise.
I thought that was already decided.
No, the sequel was confirmed, but no one knew if they would be able to get them back. Which,
gotcha.
if they couldn't get them back, they shouldn't even bother doing it. So it's good.
No, they shouldn't. That's right.
It's good that they're in talks, official talks now. As of a few days ago.
Oh my goodness.
Nice. Well, I think Bette Miller will probably do it for sure. She said it's her favorite role she's ever had.
Yep. And Sarah Jessica Parker expressed excitement for coming back. And
so good.
Kathy Najimy. So I'm just
sure Kathy Najimy hasn't really done much else since, has she? She did those commercials, right?
She was
in The Wedding Planner.
And she was on a critically acclaimed HBO show that won an Emmy every single season it was on TV. as the wife of the press secretary. And that's all I'm going to say. Y'all know what show I'm talking about. I'm not getting into that debate with y'all.
There's no debate. It's trash TV.
There is a freaking debate.
Yep.
100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Suck it.
Yep, that's the kind of response I would expect from somebody who calls that a great show. Oh, yeah, way to live up to a stereotype.
Funny that the Ernest movie had 36%. And
At least I don't feel like I need to take a bath after I finish.
Oh, I certainly did. I felt like I needed to go read an encyclopedia or something after I finished that one. I am excited, though. Did you see that new Jurassic World cartoon premiering on Netflix this weekend?
Yeah.
Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous. And it takes place during the events of Jurassic World, where on the other side of the island, there's like a day camp for kids. And of course, dinosaurs break loose, and now these kids have to traverse the island to get off it. The animation style looks bad, but the reviews coming in are like really good. They say it's surprisingly dramatic and emotional and scary for a kid's cartoon. And they said adults will really like it because it has such high stakes for a cartoon. So I'm pretty excited because I love that franchise.
Interesting. Yep.
You know what else I don't know whether or not I love?
What?
Anything else that's good and holy?
Besides Tom, the movie we're covering tonight.
What movie are we covering tonight?
You tell us. You're hosting.
Well, somebody else can say it if they want to.
We are covering Good Luck, Charlie. It's Christmas, which maybe y'all know this because maybe y'all are more researched than I am. What's this? Did this serve as the finale of this show? I feel like it didn't. So she actually had another baby on the show?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that show could have become more... Anyway.
Yeah. So this is a Disney show original, Good Luck, Charlie. It's Christmas. They're made-for-TV Christmas movie from 2011. Good Luck, Charlie is a pretty darn adorable show. It ran from 2010 to 2014. And I am going to run through the cast and credits out of order this time, and then we'll go through our history. Sound good to everyone?
Do you want to give a synopsis first?
No. I'll do that after our histories.
Okay.
Reminder,
I do have a snarky synopsis to follow up yours, by the way.
I'm sure you do. The director of this episode is Arlene Sanford. This is her directing debut for Good Luck Charlie and the only Good Luck Charlie episode that she directed. You may remember that we covered her back when we did the Jonathan Taylor Thomas movie. She also directed I'll Be Home for Christmas, so this is not her first time here. The writers for this are the creators of this show. It's a duo, Phil Baker and Drew Valpin. Are the creators, and then Jeff Rodkey wrote this episode as well. Are you trying to get my attention, Anthony?
No, I'm just thinking. I was looking at this guy's credits. Sorry.
Okay.
I appreciate you stopping to ask, though.
I did. I was concerned. I want to make sure you were getting your due attention. What? I'm being kind.
You are being kind.
They're writing. They did shows like Suddenly Susan, Almost Perfect, the TV show Rodney that is based on the Oklahoma comedian who lives in Bixby, Oklahoma, just outside of Tulsa, Rodney, which was a cool show, and Andy Mack. The cast of this show, the main cast that we're going to cover, are in every episode of this show. There's not an episode without each and every cast member, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
The star of the show, Teddy Duncan, who we don't know her actual first name, we just know she goes by Teddy, is Bridget Mendler. Bridget Mendler did a lot of stuff with Disney. She got her start back in early 2000s. Her first appearance as a person was in the TV show General Hospital. She had a role in the Squeakquel, Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Squeakquel. She was on the Wizards of Waverly Place.
She had the brother on that show went to my high school.
Cool.
With my sister.
Really?
Yep. Hmm.
She did a role in House.
She's in Lemonade Mouth.
She was.
Which was a big Disney movie.
And she's been in shows since, like, Undateable, Nashville, and she has a recurring role on Merry, Happy, Whatever.
Which is that Christmas show on Netflix with Dennis Quaid.
It is.
I was just about to say
that. It is, in fact, the show.
That good, huh?
Thomas, are we in for this weird night with you? Because you're already giving me creepy vibes.
I'm just saying, we're going to cover it sometime, so I don't want to give my thoughts on the show now.
It's a show. I would 100% agree with that.
I think we can all agree it's a show.
It's a show.
The mom in this sitcom, who also typically is one of the focal points of every episode, is Leanne Baker, who plays Amy Duncan. Sure. Leanne Baker has done a lot of stuff over the years. She's had a lot of roles on TV shows. She had a voice in the awesome 90s show Spider-Man, the animated series. Were you a fan, Anthony?
I loved that show.
Me too. She played Alyssa Silverman. She had a recurring role for 2 seasons on Charmed.
Yeah, she was. She was Helen something. Helen
Webster.
Hannah Webster. She was the warlock. Yep, I remember that.
And then she did one-off roles on a lot of TV shows in the early 2000s, like The Gina Davis Show, Yes, Dear, which I love, The 70s Show. She was on Star Trek II, Boston Legal. She, of course, was on, like everybody else, she was on American Dad. She was in a role on The King of Queens. She had a recurring role on the show In Case of Emergency, which had 1 season, The 12 Miles Bad Road.
She has a ton of voice work.
A lot of voice work, which when you listen to the show, you can totally see.
Yeah.
She has another Christmas movie that we may end up adding to the list called Wish for Christmas. And for a few years now, she's been on the Mickey Mouse Mixed Up Adventures. That's several different voices there. And a new TV show called Your Family or Mine has been announced. Teddy's older brother, PJ, is played by Jason Dolley. This actually was Jason Dolley's last appearance in this show was his last appearance in Disney. For Disney.
Did he leave with the season finale? Did he go off to college?
No, he continued acting. It was just I think he aged out of the Disney roles.
No, I meant on the show.
No, he was on the last episode when they
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant after this movie though.
No. He was on the last episode. I definitely feel confident that PJ's character would not get into college.
Well, that's what I was about to say. I was like, did they really make him go off to college? Because I would not have pegged him as that type.
I love it. That was so funny.
He was on the TV show Complete Savages, which was a Disney show. He did the movie Minutemen. He was on Cory in the House. And he has a recurring role on TV show y'all know I love, American Housewife, where he works with Katie Otto in her, when she's a weird event planner.
Huh, interesting.
Eric Allen Kramer plays the dad/exterminator, Bob Duncan. He's done quite a bit of stuff over the years. I mean, a ton of stuff if you look up what he's been involved in.
I do have to give a shout out. He was Thor.
Thor, yep.
In the Incredible Hulk Returns, made for TV movie, in the Incredible, Lou Ferrigno's The Incredible Hulk.
Early on, he had roles in some pretty big TV shows like Murder, She Wrote, Roseanne, Growing Pains, Cheers, Wings, Seinfeld.
Wait, does it say who he was in Seinfeld? Do you have a name? Oh, he was a biker in the
Keys. He was a biker in the Keys episode.
Okay.
He played Little John in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Awesome. Where I know him from, first off.
Me too. He was on the TV show Bob. He had a short arc. Nope, I lied. He played a few different parts on Empty Nest. He had an episode on Blossom. And just, I mean, tons of stuff. We could keep going. Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, News Radio, Nash Bridges, Jag, Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
He was Darma in the 2003 trilogy capper, American Wedding, of the American Pie franchise. He was
on the King of Queens.
He was one of the guys at a gay bar who got in a dance-off with Stifler and was quite funny in that.
He had an episode on the TV show Rodney that we were talking about. I mean, you know, he doesn't have a lot of big roles to his name, but the guy has done, He was one of the cops on Mike and Molly. Just a ton of stuff.
He's been in every show known to man.
Right?
He's been on How to Met Your Mother. He's Fuller been on House. Like every New York show.
We can't forget Fuller House.
Yeah, like seriously, every single show.
We can't forget Fuller House. I wish we could forget
I do too. Younger brother, Gabe Duncan, is played by Bradley Stephen Perry. Has done, again, all these people have done a lot of small things or done small movies.
Freezing.
He was in the TV series Mighty Med, Lab Rats, The Elite Force, Descendants, Wicked World, Schooled, and he's in an upcoming movie on Netflix that's coming out next month called Hubby Halloween.
Adam Sandler.
The Adam Sandler Halloween movie coming out. Yep. You are so excited about.
You know what? After seeing his performance in this, I can confidently say he'd fit right in with an Adam Sandler movie and the cast.
The younger sister who all of this show kind of revolves around, in essence, Charlie Duncan, is played by Mia Tellerico. And Mia Tellerico is best known for playing Charlie Duncan by far in Good Luck Charlie. She had a crossover on the TV show Jesse in 2013. And she has recently been in the TV show Manny for the last couple of years. And that's about it. So that is our cast. Let's talk histories. And I'm going to go first. My first foray into Good Luck Charlie was this. We saw this as an option on Netflix or something last year. And then 2 years ago. And during COVID, this was one of the series that we watched. It's just really cute. It's really fun. It brings me back to the TGIF Friday nights lineup, those good wholesome sitcoms. It's just a feel-good family. It would just fit in with the original Full House, Family Matters, Step by Step lineup.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Julia?
Yeah, so Good Luck Charlie was one of those shows that was around in the prime of my kids' Disney experience, right, with some of these shows. And it was one of those that Marty and I didn't care if it was on either because we enjoyed it probably as much as they did. I love the show. I've always liked Good Luck Charlie. Makes me laugh. I can tune myself out to it. And that's perfect description. It could coexist in the TGIF lineup from my childhood.
Anthony, how about you?
So I'm going to come back to that in a second because I actually had a note about that as well. This movie was okay. As far as modern day Disney shows go, Good Luck Charlie is my favorite. I've seen it babysitting and things like that. And it's tolerable as a 22-minute with commercials show. As an hour and a half long movie without commercials, it was long. It was long and I have a lot of criticism. But it is the best of Disney's original content in recent years. What's her name? Teddy is fine. It's the people who surround her that I find obnoxious. But I find it interesting that you related to TGIF Friday, because I had that note down too, that TGIF Friday did not used to, Full House being the exception, did not used to be as childish. And I've brought this up before with the Disney Channel. They really go childish now. I brought it up before with the Boy Meets World versus Girl Meets World debate. You can even look at Full House versus Fuller House. Full House was always childless. Fuller House took it to a new level. But Family Matters, Step by Step, the original Boy Meets World, Sabrina, all of which were in that TGIF Friday lineup, actually were not this over the top and dealt with some more adult themes too.
I know, there's nothing more realistic than Urkel becoming Stefan and having this personality.
I never said realistic, but it was not. There's nothing acting, childish. The acting was never this over the top.
No, Family Matters was okay, way over the top.
And Family Matters also dealt with things like race, with sex. Step by Step dealt with the sex issue. Boy Meets World did too.
Step by Step dealt with some drug issues off stage. Yeah,
well, exactly. And this is all TGIF. And I feel like Disney nowadays took it to the extreme overacting, extreme
Anthony, child.
Let me finish.
Who hurt you? Who hurt you?
I didn't interrupt you.
Who hurt you?
The extreme childish. Whereas back in the day, it was still family oriented, but they delved more into some adult issues too. And I enjoy those lineups more. Again, my go-to example usually is Boy Meets World versus Girl Meets World. Boy Meets World is one of my favorite freaking shows. Girl Meets World, I can't stand. Because of how over-the-top and childish it is. And that's my issue with this show, too. And it's one of my main issues when I heard Hocus Pocus 2 is going straight to Disney+. I really hope they do more of a Mandalorian, Hamilton, bigger budget type thing with that than go with these Disney Channel original movies writers. And I'll also point to, not the TGIF lineup, but Disney's own original series from the 90s, Flash Forward, which I loved, dealt with issues like puberty and, again, it dealt with skipping school and sex. So weird, which I loved. And even Lizzie McGuire and even Stevens were more nuanced than this. So I thought it was okay. It's their best show that was on recently, but I don't like the direction Disney has gone with.
Julia, I think we just need to accept that anytime we're doing something that is wholesome.
That's not true. Go back through the list. Go back through the list. Not true at all. I don't like modern day Disney shows, so sorry. They too childish.
I will say my feelings for the show are very much stronger than my feelings for this Christmas special.
Well, I agree with that. Like I said, I can deal with 22 minutes of the show. An hour and a half felt a little long.
Yeah. This Christmas movie wasn't as good as I remembered it being. It didn't hold up for me.
I enjoyed it. This is a problem, though, when TV shows go to movies, though, in general. TV shows
it's tricky.
Are just extended episodes. Like, I go back to the Simpsons movie, how hyped the Simpsons movie was. And you watch it, and it's just boring after 30 minutes, right? Like,
mm-hmm. Yes.
I'll give you all that. TV shows don't typically, in my opinion, make good movies.
Uh-uh. Nope.
A lot of shows, like, I don't even really see comedy. As I'm thinking back now on the fly, I don't really think of any good comedies that did hour-long specials. Like,
I wouldn't go that far. Friends and The Office had some decent hour-long specials.
They never ran continuously for an hour, though. They were too
just the first. They were just broken the first up. Time they just the first time they aired in they, syndication. Then they broke them up.
Yeah, they were.
Well, but even when they aired, they were broken up. They had a dividing line between the first 30 minutes and the second 30.
Right, you could tell they kept the syndication format.
Yeah, and they kept the same. Yeah, exactly.
For some reason, that serves this. This didn't quite.
Yeah. So.
But to your point from last week, yeah, I agree with you that the comedies don't work well when you try to stretch it out generally. But I find the Addams Family and Beverly Hillbillies, where they took an old comedy and wrote it specifically with the movie in mind, that worked well.
That's different. That's not.
Yes. Absolutely. That's why I just wanted to make that point. Yeah.
Because like with the Beverly Hillbillies, you have the entire story arc going over the course of an hour and a half. It's not just part of this. You know what I mean?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where the difference comes in. And yeah. So let's go over this episode. In this episode, Teddy is determined that she wants to spend spring break.
Want to give a synopsis?
That's what I'm doing.
Oh, I thought you were just diving into the... Sorry. No.
May I finish? So Teddy's determined that she wants to spend the spring break away from her family. And somehow the idea comes up that if she can pay for her own ticket, she can go. Fast forward, the family is on their way to see grandparents in Palm Springs, California for Christmas. At the airport, they need somebody to give up their seat, which is something anybody who travels very often is all too familiar with. And they offer a voucher and a flight on the next, and a seat on the next flight. Teddy jumps to take this opportunity. It's only after she gives up her seat that she learns that she will not have a flight to be there by Christmas. So, Mom and Teddy.
Her mom is with her.
Mom and Teddy go on an extended road trip.
That really shows the stupidity of both of them at multiple times.
Can I finish?
I'm just playing Tom to your Tom. I'm Tom too.
We have...
I don't think that's the way to get him on your good side tonight, Anthony. Especially by the look of...
We have a comedy of errors along the way. As we watch dad and kids fall apart without mom at grandparents, and we watch several failed attempts to get home by Teddy and mom. Will they make it there in time for Christmas?
Of course they will. It's a Disney movie.
I will say one thing about this. This feels like they stole the plot from Home Alone.
Absolutely. And
at the airport, kid is not going to be with family on plane. Mom has to save the day. it's the homage to Home Alone, where I think we have to look at and acknowledge that the writers knew what they were doing. They even play Run, Run, Rudolph as they're running through the airport, right? It is exactly, that is just like Home Alone.
I take issue with the fact that you dare to compare the smarts of this mother to Catherine O'Hara's character.
I'm saying the overarch, I didn't compare them. I said the overarching theme that they were going for. Like there's a definite inspiration from Home Alone that comes across here.
Yeah.
There is.
All right.
Either of y'all ever had a running through the airport incident?
The time. I've done that. I've done it.
I'm lying. I did have that trying to make connecting flights that were late.
It's the connecting flights that do me, not the initial
flight.
It's
when the
flight is delayed and you get in late and all of a sudden only have like a few minutes to get to your connecting flight, that's when it does you.
Which goes against my basic premise in life that a failure for preparation on your part should not necessitate an emergency on mine.
Right.
Because the airline screwed up, why am I rushing to get where I need to?
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Why am I rushing to make my plane? And then when the plane takes off without me because of your incompetence, why do I have to wait and be inconvenienced? Why can't you get me on a flight right away?
It's really frustrating. The horrible experiences I've had with customer service, especially on American and United, who I know will never be our sponsors, so I can say it. They treat their passengers terribly, and we continually bail them out when they're on the verge of failure from poor administration.
Mm-hmm. That sadly, United is the only like major airline, American airline, to go up to where Sarah's from in Canada and connect to Air Canada up in Montreal or Toronto. So I am all too familiar with United, and every time there is a problem, without fail, including once they lost Sarah's bridesmaid dress for a wedding she was going into.
Oh no.
And we only got it like late night before the wedding. And that's only because I was on the phone with the rep multiple times a day until the point I made her cry, like the day before we got the dress. I don't give a crap whether it was your fault or not. You need to get this dress to us. I already lost money on the freaking bachelorette party supplies that were in the suitcase, and she had to go buy them all up here now. So you are going to get this dress because she is the maid of honor, and the wedding is in 2 days.
Oh my gosh, she was the maid of honor even.
Picture a lot more vulgarities, a lot more yelling, a lot more pacing back and forth through my in-law's basement as I talked to this woman. When we went out during the day, you see friends and family a lot more ducking out of the room or going down aisles in stores yelling at this woman. Because my problem was, okay, you know where the suitcase is. It's sitting in Newark because you people didn't get it on the plane. Get it on the freaking plane. Why can't someone go carry that suitcase on a plane? And ultimately, I got it. But United is so freaking incompetent. If you don't have to fly them, I never would fly them.
I have never... Since I don't fly them, I fly Delta all the time, so that's where I have.
I love Delta.
The awesome status and the upgrades and whatnot. On United, I don't, so I can't tell you the number of times they always overbook. They're always threatening to force people onto the next plane, and I'm always like in the bottom because I don't ever fly Delta. I now go out of my way and I'm willing to fly when I'm going to California to fly to Atlanta, Georgia, then to California just to avoid American and United.
What?
Delta's that much better. Delta treats you that much better.
Delta is excellent. I love Delta.
And
I'm a Southwest and Allegiant person.
Oh, I can't do Allegiant.
You can't.
Wasn't Southwest the one where a few years ago their window blew out on the flight? That put me off them. Not that I ever flew them.
Southwest does a good job, but I...
Yeah, that was Southwest.
I do Southwest to Houston if I don't have points. But with Allegiant, I don't like to have to pay for things like seatbelts. You know, pay to have a seatbelt.
Yeah.
It's extra. You want to make sure that you have a mask. If we get in if we have an emergency, that's extra.
It's still cheaper to fly Allegiant to Orlando, Florida for a Disney trip than it is to use anybody else. Oh, we don't have points. We don't travel all the time, so we don't have anything like that. Well, you have 37
kids, so.
Right. So it pays for us.
Do you know how much it costs for me right now to fly down to Florida if I want, given how people don't want to travel there right now?
How much?
If I wanted an open-ended ticket to, like, visit Disney 48 bucks. Or my parents or something. Yeah, $48.
Yeah, $48. Yeah.
And that's on, like, that's on the expensive airlines. Like, I'm talking like, AA and United and Delta. And
right. Whatever.
That's without
points. Yeah, Allegiance was pulling – they were pulling some insane $30 fares or something, which, I mean, like Tom said, we would still have to pay for our seat. Our seatbelt and our peanuts and our all that stuff, but like crazy cheap enough to where I would look at Marty and we'd be like, we could just like legit take off tomorrow, leave the kids with grandma and just go hit Disney for like 2 days. Just us for a heck of a deal.
How about you visit New York around Christmas, Julia?
I'd love to do that. Next we'll get Patreon into that money. when we start talking about the reason why mom is so stressed in this movie about going to Palm Springs. I have some contributions regarding travel at Christmas.
I will say I understand the stress level. I don't appreciate, like all Disney shows, the stupidity they heap on their parental characters.
Okay, before we jump into this, Anthony, synopsis.
Oh, okay. I did have one. I was thinking about it when you were talking and then we got on this rant. Okay. A family gets separated at Christmas. An over-the-top family full of accidents gets separated at Christmas due to a comedy of errors, but mainly stupidity on the parts of everyone involved. And stupidity continues to occur when they try to reunite for the holidays. Instead of doing the smart thing to get home to one another, each and every time they take the stupid route. When you're supposed to go left, they go right. When they're supposed to go right, they go left. All this culminates in a sweet, although forced, Linus moment. And, you know, you're left thanking the powers that be that the movie is over at the end of this bloated affair. I mean, can we at least agree it felt long? Even you said, Julia, as an 85 minute movie, it was a little long.
Oh yeah, no, it felt long to me. It did.
And I will bring up as Tom walks through the plots, walks us through the plot. The stupid decisions they make, which has nothing to do with, again, Julia, I get the real life stresses, for example, of traveling with kids. I see it every holiday season when we travel. I see it every time we travel, especially around the holidays. And I tell Sarah, sadly, that's going to be us one day with kids. So I try to be patient with these people because it is. You know, eventually, if we're living in Canada, we're going to have to come back here. If we're living here, we're going to have to go to Canada, you know, back and forth. So I know it's going to be us with kids as young as like a few months to however old. I know it's going to be us one day. So I do understand the stresses. I sympathize with the stresses. What got me with this movie, with the mother and the father, was the stupidity. But again, I'll get into that more as we get into the plot. You're free to talk now, Tom.
You done? Okay, just making sure you're done. So this
one more story. Thing. I'm joking.
She's gonna reach through that screen and throttle you.
So the store, our show opens up. Family at home, getting ready to leave for Christmas. Right, they're gonna go see Grandma and Grandpa.
Palm Springs, sunny, hot, pool weather.
And I'll comment on the cinematography too. It looks much more professional than an episode of the show. You could tell it's being shot as a movie and not a TV show from the opening frames. Yep.
You can. So in it, also it felt like they were going to Florida the whole time. I don't know why. I knew it was California, but nothing about that felt like California. Even when they got there, it did not feel like California to me.
No.
It felt Christmassy to me.
Yeah, it felt like Florida to me too.
It did. And nothing about Florida is Christmassy.
No. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Well, maybe Disney.
Well, so that's partially what made me think of what has happened in the last 2 days in my house when I was watching this. So Charlie's mom is super stressed, not just because traveling with kids, but she is all about tradition, right? Like that's her jam. And I understand that. And I feel that way at Christmas time also. And I think she partially doesn't like the idea of, can it be Christmas anywhere else? And can it be Christmas away from what we're used to? And can it be Christmas without our traditions, right? Like the traditions are what build our family experience, which she goes on to learn. Right. That's her turnaround Linus moment at the end is it's not the tradition. It's the togetherness. Right. Mm-hmm. So we had tickets to Disney World this summer. We're having to push back. We were going to advance them to next summer and take our Disney trip over next summer. When Marty's like, why don't we just go at Christmas? Because like one, the park is almost empty. And he's like, if anybody has safety protocols in place, like Disney's killing it with their safety procedures when it comes to the park. And then he's like, plus we've always wanted to go to Christmas, wanted to go at Christmas time. It's like a bucket list item. What were we going to say, Anthony?
Just about the safety thing. There were Disney whistleblowers that came out and said they are not as clean and safe about their procedures. Like workers are getting sick, just so you know.
Oh, well, that aside, we brought it up to the kids. So Marty's like, I'm serious. He's like, let's just take our 2 week vacation over Christmas time. And we thought the kids would be pretty jazzed about it. Hannah's like, I don't really want to. I want to keep it in the summer. And we're like, it's Disney at Christmas. And then we asked Ethan, who we thought would be totally on board. And he's like, I want to be home for Christmas. Like, my home for Christmas. Like, here. I want to keep it as a summer trip. And we looked at each other and we're like, that is not what I expected at all. So this movie really, I don't know, it reminded me of that a little bit, especially
Ethan. The same way. My parents have tried to do that with us, so, like in the past, and both me and my sister are like, no, do it in the summer. So are you guys going in the end?
What it sounds like y'all should do,
Julie, we'll go summertime.
You and Marty should take a 4-day weekend.
That's what I'm saying, is we need to go at Christmas time.
They're not decorating this year, though, they confirmed. For Christmas. They are for Halloween.
Oh, they're not decorating for Christmas? I haven't heard that. They're not doing Mickey's Christmas party.
Yeah, but I haven't heard they're not decorating. For Christmas either. After Halloween, they're just putting it back to the rest of the park because they're getting ready to close down again because it's supposed to get bad again. So they said they're not going to decorate for Christmas in case they do close down again.
Well, yeah,
they're
ready for that second wave. Decorated.
Yep. Well, exactly. That's why.
It's just do Christmas anyway. I mean, push Christmas into early next year. Who doesn't want to go to Disney at Christmas time?
Yeah, they should honor that. Maybe they'll bust out a Christmas in July next year, and we'll get to see it when we're there for summertime.
Best of both worlds.
It really would be.
Best of both worlds. We bring it back to the Disney show channel.
So we get to the airport. Everybody's rushing through. We get to the gate. They've overbooked. The airline attendant asks for somebody to give up the receipt. For some reason, the flight attendant accepts the offer of a minor.
Yeah, that seems out of
one.
So,
or believability.
Exactly. At least Home Alone took place in a different world. I'm just saying that.
Well, it's not that it took place in a different world. It's that the I guess it was pre 9/11 when,
yep,
for Home Alone 2, when Kevin got on the wrong flight.
Pre 9/11, yep. This was 10 years later, where this never would have happened without a parent's permission.
Right. We see some hijinks by Gabe trying to get PJ to sneak in video game stuff by hiding it on his person without him knowing.
So stupid.
Which should
Why
have
is
been
he sneaking it? I don't understand
his
that.
His mom didn't want him to bring it.
Yeah.
Oh, she just straight up didn't want him to bring it. That's why he snuck it. Okay. It wasn't because he opened it early and all that stuff. It's just because she's like, leave it at home. Got it.
Mom didn't want them being distracted by video games when seeing grandma and grandpa.
So stupid, that scene.
That part is kind of ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Kind Especially of. When PJ walked through the metal detector and found out.
Yeah, PJ's dumb, but he's not that dumb.
Nobody's dumb enough to have something taped to their back and not notice it.
Except kick me signs.
Okay, that does work. But that's not on your
skin.
But
this was, duct taping it to his skin, and he had to change his shirt at some point.
And also, one little piece of scotch tape compared to duct tape.
Yep.
And the weight of a video game on your back? Yeah. So, for whatever reason, they allow Teddy to give up her seat. And this is her bright idea, because she's trying to convince her parents to let her go with her friends to Florida for spring break.
So this is where I have to ask you guys, because I am not as familiar with the show as you guys. I've seen episodes here and there. How old is she?
16?
I know she's a minor. Okay, so she is still like sophomore.
She's like 15
in
or 16 here.
Okay, because I can never tell, because the actress clearly looked older to me. Like, she looked like she was late high school, early college. So I was like, I don't see what the big deal is. But yeah, okay, got it.
Well, I also didn't feel like through the rest of the show that Teddy's character is going to be somebody who's going to push to go to spring break in Florida either, right?
No.
That seemed very out of character for her.
It did seem out of character for her. Absolutely did.
But I guess we had to make it work. It would have been—I think it would have been better if they would have had some sort of camp or something that she wanted to go to that was more in line with her interests.
Well, yes. Spring break isn't always, you know, to quote Arrested
Spring
Development.
Break.
Spring break. Woo! Yeah, exactly.
In Florida, I think it is.
Depends where you go. I've been down there for that.
Why would you want to go for that?
Because there are areas where it's not like that.
I don't know. Not on my bucket list.
I mean, so, spring break in general isn't on my bucket list ever now. It's not even an old man thing with Anthony. It's a fact of life. I'm 30 years old. I ain't going to spring break.
Spring break was never a thing I was excited about. It was just, I don't know.
I never went to one of those spring break, woo, because it never excited me.
I don't like being around a bunch of drunk people. It's just not my thing.
Not my jam.
Or a bunch of people. That was also my thing with spring break.
My new favorite gif is from that Mandalorian trailer where Yoda hits a button and it closes over him. That's my eternal mood. Eternal mood. Don't
this is what Anthony wants
people.
To be at work?
That's what Anthony wants to be all the time.
You just come out to rant and then go back into your little egg.
Exactly. If I had a button where I could open the egg when I wanted to make a point and then close it so I could block out Tom's ridiculous counter-argument, that would be perfect.
Open. I've got a lot of crap to air with you people. Close.
That should be part of Festivus.
It should be.
Amy, mom, decides that she is going to stay with Teddy and help Teddy get to California. Bob takes the other kids, which, if there's one thing we've seen through the show, Bob's not the most observant, responsible dad. So I can't imagine this trade-off happening the way it's going to happen, especially considering Bob and in-laws do not get along at all.
And this is also a tired trope I have, the lazy, irresponsible dad.
Yeah.
It is a trope.
Well, he's not lazy. He's very hardworking.
Right, no. I know what you mean. The more goofy, aloof parent. It's a trope. We've talked about it with Modern Family. We talk about it's on every comedy, Disney or not, and it's a tired trope at this point.
So, Dad gets on the plane with the kids, goes to Palm Springs. Mom and Teddy start to make their way to California, right?
On a bus.
They start out on a bus. And this bus is exactly what it is like traveling on Greyhound, in case you're wondering.
Mm-hmm. Is it really?
Yes, it is. So when I was in college, I didn't want my parents' money. I was fiercely independent. I wanted to pay my own way to come home. I didn't want my parents getting my way. So I bought a Greyhound ticket thinking, this can't be that bad.
It's that bad?
There's a guy doing drugs on the bus. Somebody in the seat behind me defecated on the seat instead of going to the bathroom. Might I add, I was in the back row. So this guy was maybe one or two rows from the bathroom and just defecated and sat there. Perfectly fine. Some people got in a fight. A couple got in a really nasty fight. And at a stop, she stormed out, then he stormed out, then we left without them. So I don't know what happened there. But when we get to Dallas, I've decided after the guy defecated on the bus, I can't do anymore. So I called my mom and I'm like, Mom, I'm taking a cab. I'm going to the airport. I need you to buy me a plane ticket. I can't do this.
Oh my gosh.
Worst experience I've ever been on with on Greyhound for traveling by far. So I get how bad this is. I was just, my experience was the only thing missing really was somebody with chickens on the bus.
With chickens, yeah. Well, that makes it feel a little more realistic then. Because that, I didn't understand that that was a real life experience. And so that makes this less cartoony.
It's not cartoony. Not at all.
I've got to ask y'all, the first time you saw this, was it as obvious to both of y'all that mom was pregnant?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they hit you over the head with it. I guessed right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did. And it, well, because it becomes a, now I know it becomes a bigger part of the show.
Right.
You know, because she really did get pregnant. She's filming all of this while pregnant. And she's filming post-birth of baby while still pregnant. So later on in that season, you see they don't really show her belly. Like, they have her hidden behind stuff all the time, which is really funny knowing that. The bus, she ends up getting really sick, and she's in the bathroom puking all the time. And everybody on the bus is annoyed, and rightfully so, because it's kind of disgusting, and they can't go to the bathroom. It is so bad.
This is after she vomited. She couldn't hold her vomit in for 1 second, so her daughter could take out the magazine before she vomited in that bag.
Correct.
That made me roll my eyes.
I've been there.
The little funny quote with, that's a little harsh for the fall. That's harsh criticism of the fall line or whatever it was that Teddy said made me laugh. I thought that was funny.
That was, and I have been so sick. If you've been around, I don't know, Julia, what your pregnancies were like.
Oh, I was hospitalized because I couldn't keep anything done.
And you couldn't hold it, could you, when it came up?
No.
So
no, that's why I ate Jell-O almost exclusively for a really long time, because it's not that unpleasant coming up.
Yeah.
This is what pregnancy does to your brain.
My experience with a pregnant wife, she would not have been able to hold hers either. They would be instantaneous. Yeah. So there was a bowl, a puke bucket everywhere she went.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that one I will counter the argument that this bus is ridiculous, because I've had a similar experience, and I will counter the not being able to hold your puke, because I've been around women like that while pregnant. But it would have been annoying, especially if you didn't know she was pregnant or know what was going on. So they get dumped. They're just abandoned. And I don't remember where they were abandoned. Do y'all?
It was deserty. In
the middle of nowhere.
But like Colorado area.
Yeah, it had to be, because they went over the mountains. So it had to have been. Yeah. So something like that.
And they find a police officer who tells them where to go to get a car, because all of the car rental places are apparently closed.
And right. Now, why couldn't they just buy new plane tickets?
Where would they fly out of?
There was no flight going at that point.
They're driving the car from Colorado to Palm Springs.
Right. Why they just didn't go to another airport,
yeah,
you mean?
That's what I mean, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That's not really addressed as an option anywhere in here.
Nope. Stupid decision making.
But they end up being able to buy a car.
For $50.
$50.
An Ogo. What's it called?
Hugo.
Hugo. Is that a real car, by the way? Curious. Or is that some made up brand of car?
No, there was really a Hugo, but they end up buying, it's like an Eastern European Soviet car.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're driving, it can't go very fast. The lights don't work. I mean, it's just a rotten piece that eventually literally has the comedy trope that it falls apart. Like the doors fall off, the wheels fall off, and the car dies.
Yeah.
And this is after
the almost dying on the road.
Almost dying on the road where Teddy is insisting she can drive because she wants to show her mom she's responsible because she wants to be allowed to go on spring break, right?
Yep.
So.
So next we get picked up by as hitchhikers.
Oh my God, by people who believe they were abducted by aliens.
Again,
can I tell you right now?
Have you been to New Mexico, Anthony? Have you been near Roswell?
No. You've not. You've not.
Again,
because
not that, unbelievable.
Yeah, you'll be disappointed when you go to Roswell, by the way, because I was deep in my X-Files era and my brother's wife was from Roswell. So we had the wedding and all that stuff was in Roswell, New Mexico. And like massively disappointing, like super disappointing.
There are a lot of weirdos, but it's all very cartoony, kitschy.
It's junky. It is the junkiest little junk town.
So it's this really, is, the whole way then, in and out of it, the whole way in and out of it are just these side of the road, crap, dilapidated, falling down businesses that sell alien stuff.
That doesn't surprise me.
Every restaurant. I know every restaurant there is like hokey alien, but there are a lot of weirdos there.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me either. But this is okay. So this could might be a real mistake. This is not something I want in a Christmas movie then, because none of this felt Christmassy to me. And couple that with the Palm Springs setting, where nothing felt Christmassy. This is not, especially, and that's what I feel is a disappointing aspect of this for me. I feel like I would have enjoyed a proper Christmas movie with these characters as over the top as they were, because when watching the show, the few times I've seen it, babysitting or whatever again, I do like these characters.
Babysitting, Julia.
I do babysit. Thank you very much.
I also think you sit at home and watch. Good luck, Charlie.
Not true.
So they're with these crazy people who are part of
the... I stay home and watch Phineas and Ferb.
That's fair. Part of the Alien Abduction Survivors Network. And not only that, but these people are also going to an Alien Survivors Conference, which really exists.
Yeah.
These people really do get together. They have... Now I think it's moved to more... Like, there are a lot of meetups. I don't know if they have the big thing anymore, but I have seen their meetups.
They do have the big thing still.
Okay. So this knowing those people exist, this doesn't feel that unbelievable to me. And I could see other shows doing it a little better.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So they end up getting...
And if you didn't know she was pregnant already, you would know by the breakfast she ate.
For sure.
Which made me really hungry, by the way.
It made me very hungry. I actually, after this
you
went out...
You pause and you ate at that moment? Because that's partially what I did.
After this movie went out... Because, again, I was exhausted. I went out for a coffee from Dunkin' Donuts, and I picked up a few donuts.
Oh, man.
Because I was starving.
All the toast. So hungry.
They make it to Vegas, which there is a very nice Linus moment for Teddy in Vegas.
Yeah,
I really like the part that we have in Vegas. Their luggage gets stolen. Mm-hmm. Amy and Teddy get into a huge fight, and Amy is just rightfully so blaming Teddy for why they're here. Like, this is your fault.
This is when I actually became invested in the two of their stories. Up to this point, nothing. It annoyed me with the over-the-top. No, it did. All the over-the-top BS and overacting from these Disney actors bothered me. It's when Vegas, when I started caring about them, especially because the other story with the father and the brothers devolved into even more cartoon buffoonery at this point. So I liked the Vegas stuff.
I did too.
Yeah.
I did feel bad with Amy, what Amy said to her. It reminded me of reading Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, where Harry shouted at his son, "I wish you were never my son." And I get it. Parents have these moments. There are parents who do. In the moments, they simply don't regret. Parents do it sometimes.
They do regret.
Yeah, they do regret.
No, that's what I meant. They regret instantly. They say things they do regret instantly. But it happens. Frustration and stress boils up. As things slip out. They regret it instantly. So it felt real to me.
It did.
This whole thing.
I loved their street performance. That was hilarious.
Hated it.
I know you do, but aww, it was funny to me.
I like Teddy. It.
Well, I just don't like the mother.
Teddy and Amy.
Love the mother.
She reminds me of one of those moms who tries to stay relevant by acting like a teenager, and I think people like that are very sad.
Do you like the Goldbergs?
I do.
Do you like the mother on the Goldbergs?
That
because that's the mother on the Goldbergs.
Okay, so I'll give that.
You
more
don't
grace.
Like it I, when I, there's. You don't like it out of a purely comedic role.
Yeah.
Like where she's so over the top, she's clearly over the top.
Right. Plus a mother on the Goldbergs, and we brought it up before, is your typical overbearing Jewish mother, who is very similar to the overbearing Italian mother and Spanish mother that we know exist, that we've gotten comments about from people. So that, the Goldbergs rings more true to me, especially because there seems to, it's not as over the top and there is heart there. Whereas this mother, she bothered me a lot.
Speaking of heart. Speaking of heart, we find some heart coming up. They're in a restaurant.
The movie was lacking at this point.
And they find this teenage girl who's comparable in age to Teddy. There's a lot of similarities that we see between like her and Teddy here.
This is a movie she's I the wanted.
One, she's the one who stole Teddy and Amy's luggage. Mm-hmm. Teddy goes to confront her. The girl, he gets really upset. She explains how she's a runaway. She tried to go to a music festival that her mom didn't want her to go to. Her mom told her she couldn't go, so now she feels like she can't go home and she's homeless. Amy offers to call mom, have a heart-to-heart, mom-to-mom, smooth things over. It works, but Jordan doesn't have a way home. So Teddy has this ticket, this free airline ticket to go for spring break, and she gives it up to Jordan so that Jordan can get home for Christmas.
And lets her keep the shirt she stole.
And she lets her keep the shirt she stole.
And I love this. And I would have loved a Christmas movie from Jordan's point of view.
We see...
Because she's in the movie for 5 minutes, and her story touched me more than the story of this family.
Show me on this doll where the angel touched you.
Oh, Family Guy. There we go.
So, this gesture...
Julia, that's what baffles me, by the way. All the jabs at me for liking crude, vulgar stuff, and Tom continuously quotes Family Guy and brings up Family Guy cutaway scenes.
I just remember it from, like, you know, what was it, like 20 years ago? I was really into it.
Please, you say I sit at home watching Good Luck Charlie. I see you sneaking downstairs after Christine and Ellie are asleep putting on Family Guy and American Dad.
They're not good at all anymore, man.
I wouldn't know. I stopped back when they first started, after the good seasons at the beginning.
Well, I still check in and watch. I mean, I do watch Simpsons fairly religiously just because I'm so invested in over the last 30
years. You want to see that puppy through to the end.
I do. I want to be able to say I've seen every episode.
Until they put it down, like Old Yeller, right?
They're probably past the point when that puppy should be put down. But, I mean, like, each season's, what, like 15 to 20 episodes, and maybe four of them are really solid? Anyway, we won't go into all that.
Treehouse of Horrors.
Treehouse of Horrors are always good.
They are
Christmas episodes
good.
Are almost always good.
I don't know how we have not. Next year, we need to do a Treehouse of Horror bonus episode for sure for Halloween.
We're going to have to do like six of them because...
No, I know, but we
like
need to
30
do our,
Treehouse.
We need to do our first one next year.
We should.
For sure. Yeah,
we should. We could do like Halloween in March and start it. Christmas in July, Halloween in March. We should start moving holidays. I feel like so at this point, Amy and Teddy are reunited. They reconnect. We have a Linus moment where they realize what's important. Both of them realize it's important to be together. Mom does get over the whole, you know, you ruined my Christmas thing pretty quickly. And I feel like she focused on them a lot. So,
well, before we move on from them, there's a nice moment where mom tells her, you know, it's hard as a mother to let you go to spring break, to admit you're growing up and, you know, becoming your own person. And that moment felt real and sweet to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like we spent a lot of time with them. I'm going to start what's happening with dad and kids first, and then I'm going to pass it off and let somebody else do it because I've been doing a lot of talking, but I have a reason for wanting to start this. When dad and in-laws do not get along at all. Bob and his in-laws just, well, he gets along with his father-in-law. Mother-in-law's just crazy.
Why can't a TV show, Disney or otherwise, not make, why can't a TV show make in-laws who are not caricatures?
We must have different in-laws.
We do. Thank God, because otherwise that means that it would be related to you.
That means we'd both be married to Christine because she's an only child, so that would be even more complex.
Extra weird.
Complexity we have to deal with her.
Oh, none of us are Mormon, Tom. It's okay. Not happening.
So Bob gets to grandparents' house, and we've got a young child and tchotchkes galore. All this breakable stuff that grandma did not think she should put away.
Who they were. Well,
and her daughter told her.
Anthony is shaking his head. Who they were. We went through this with my mom. We went through this when we took Ellie home for Christmas.
Oh, this I know for sure is real because I've seen it in my family.
We told my mom.
She didn't pack anything up?
She thought she packed stuff up, but there was breakable stuff everywhere and stuff got broken. Mom didn't get upset because it was obviously mom's fault because you can't expect a two-year-old to keep
Let me ask you, do you at least tell your two-year-old don't do that in a kind way?
Yes, but it doesn't mean a thing because two-year-olds haven't developed impulse control.
I am aware of that, but you at least tell them, oh, don't do that. We don't do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
so there's this whole scene where Bob is trying to prevent Charlie from destroying everything. Bob ends up getting locked in a room in timeout.
Because the mother-in-law is just a terrible person. She's horrible.
And this is stupid too.
No dad is going to go, no grown man is going to go get locked into a room by his mother-in-law. It's just not going to happen.
Especially one that size.
No.
It's not like she's an intimidating figure. Like sometimes you get the in-laws who look intimidating. It's not even that. Like,
no.
Then PJ ends up going to the beach because that's what he was all excited about and used sun tanning lotion instead of sunblock, and he's burnt to a crisp. He ends up getting locked in the room. Gabe gets locked into the room.
Because he's got grandpa hooked on this video game he was wanting to play so badly, his attempt to smuggle the game to grandma and grandpa's house.
I hated everything in this Palm Beach home. I hated this whole subplot. Not that I liked the mother and Taylor much, Teddy much either, but at least they had a point in the story.
Yeah, even though, I don't like the house. I don't like the mom. I did find it funny how he gets grandpa hooked on a video game.
Yep.
He and grandpa are hooked on this video game. They end up going to pick up, after all of this, and you know, all the men and boys are locked into a room by grandma, Amy ends up making contact and they go to pick her up, but somehow they get abducted by this tech guru.
You're driving down a dark road in the middle of the desert in the middle of the night and you get ambushed by a group of people with guns you don't know are real or not at the time. He was remarkably calm for having that happen with a car full of kids. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I would be pissing myself. I'd be the idiot who tries to drive through them or drive out that driveway. I'd rather go down fighting than just be there sitting bait. Anyway,
so so they end up getting trapped in a paintball game that they weren't actually invited to, and because he's so obsessed with the game.
Well, this is a live action version of the game, the paintball.
Yeah,
game.
It's a live action thing.
Capture the flag. They're capturing the crystal from the game. So of course, what's the kid's name?
Gabe.
So of course, Gabe. It's like, he finally gets to play his game, except in real life. And he tells dad he can get them back to the car. But of course, he leads them to go get the jewel instead. And the whole thing is,
they end up winning this great prize, and he gets to meet the creator of the game that he's obsessed with. And after they win, they end up all getting connected, find the real meaning of Christmas and family. and leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then there, she gets a plane ticket at the end.
Yeah, it happens again. They're heading home. It's overbooked. And somebody, we have one person, if you can give your seat up, she pops up. She goes, me, that's me. I got it.
So
me.
Right back to where we need to be, where we started.
And mom looks at dad and says, you're up.
The end.
And that's the end.
The end.
I wish there was more Christmas in this. There was a Linus moment. Vegas looked Christmassy, but
their house at the beginning looked really Christmassy.
Yeah, their house, which I don't know. So maybe I'll just, well, no, I can't say why did they do that? They're going away. Because if I didn't have cats, I would still decorate for Christmas, even if we go spend it in Canada. But yeah. I don't want to come home to a wrecked house where I can't, you know?
Yeah.
So we don't on the years we're going away. But they, yeah, so I can understand it. Never mind. Because they don't have a pet. So I get
why. So every other year you don't decorate?
Well, it's not every other year. It should be every other year, but.
So on the years you go, you don't decorate for Christmas?
I'll put out, I don't put up the tree. I'll put up little bits and bobs.
You don't get a tree every year?
But then when I go up there, I got to cut down a tree and decorate it and everything. Because they assume for us.
This just makes me sad a little
bit. But yeah, because then from November until whenever we leave for Canada, yeah, there's no tree, which makes me sad. This year, we will not be going to Canada like we wanted because we're barred from entering Canada. So sure. I will be putting up a tree this year.
Yay.
All good in the food.
There's a thanks, perk. COVID.
So that's the end.
That's the end. And I think it could have been condensed into a regular episode, but a Christmas episode, and it would have been delightful because then they could have hit all of the heart feeling stuff or that even really makes Good Luck Charlie good.
This or was even an hour
long Christmas episode, like 44 sure. minutes without the, we did not need to have that extra 40 minutes on top of a 40 minutes. You could have cut out the whole paintball crap. Yeah. Half an hour right there.
You did hear a Wilhelm scream though during the paintball.
Is there one in there? Oh, how there funny. Is.
This was the first original Christmas movie that Disney made in 10 years. The one before
was Twas the Night, right?
Twas the Night, yep.
Which is another weird. That's the one with the weather machine, right?
It's weather weird. Machine.
The sleigh does weird stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. It's weird. We'll have to get that one on the list at some point so we can hear another Anthony Rage.
There you go.
I mean,
there is also I don't know if y'all know this or not, but this is this show was so popular in India that they adapted it with a new title, working title, and it is called Best of Luck, Nikki.
So do you know the American comedy that's most adapted around the world?
What's
you're going to laugh because he didn't really like it when he covered it. Everybody Loves Raymond is the number one adapted American comedy around the world in other languages.
Really? That is interesting.
Yep. But I guess the whole struggle with in-laws is a universal concept, and that's the core of that show, right?
Yeah.
So
there
I just
is,
looked, I just
but what I was going to say is...
I mentioned about the cinematography, it looked more like a movie. They did that by just dimming down the lights on set and making the outside lights brighter.
Speaking of the set, you know this is a set of Hannah Montana. When Hannah Montana wrapped up, Good Luck Charlie moved right in.
That doesn't surprise me.
But the best... What I was going to say about Best of Luck, Nikki, they have a New Year special called Best of Luck, Nikki. Happy New Year.
I mean, it has a Linus moment. It is a Christmas movie, even though it doesn't look or feel Christmassy.
Right.
Like I said, the strongest part for me was the Vegas stuff with Mom and Teddy and the runaway.
It was.
For sure.
So Anthony didn't like it.
I liked that 20 minutes in Vegas.
Okay.
Until they start dancing for money. If you're going to dance for money in Vegas. Anyway.
It's not going to be on Good Luck Charlie.
I was about to say, it's not going to be on Good Luck Charlie, and I was going about to make a joke, but then I was like, she's playing a minor. So.
Yeah, no kidding.
What joke were you going to make, Anthony?
I was going to make a joke about dancing in Vegas.
Hmm. That sounds very inappropriate to talk about a child. Think about it.
You're such an
asshole. I don't know why you're thinking about that with children.
Oh my god. She was not a minor when this filmed.
There was a brief reunion of Good Luck Charlie this year.
They did a movie or a TV show? Or was it one of
No, they did like things? A Zoom reunion of the cast.
Aww.
Brought them all back together.
What does Charlie look like now?
She looks like a kid.
No, I meant like, is she like, does she still look like she did as a, like, could you tell it's her or no? Like some as kids a, you can tell little, it's them as they grow up.
I probably wouldn't recognize her because she was so little and has changed quite a bit. She's probably in that, 9 or 10 year old. I don't know how old she is, but she's,
oh wow, yeah, I would not. She's a young kid. Her. Yeah, I wouldn't have. So I just Googled it.
I didn't actually watch it.
Do y'all have quotes?
I don't.
Not really. It's just not quotable. My final thoughts, it was a fun show. I'll watch it if it's on. I'm not going out of my way to watch it, but it's a fun episode. I liked it.
I did have one quote.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's when the grandpa becomes obsessed with the video game and Gabe tells his father, grandpa's lost his mind, and his father, who does not get along with the mother at all, says, well, that's one thing him and grandma have in common now.
He was so terrible.
Oh, gosh.
I would be furious if my mom talked to my husband like that.
Right? Like, yep. I never, like, why I know it's a trope in TV and movies, like the warring in-laws, but I think that's overplayed and unrealistic in general.
Yeah. The mom would not have let her mom talk to her husband like that. Her as a character,
no
she
way.
Wouldn't allow that.
No.
She's like super spicy and she would not allow that. So.
But again, that's another trope too we see. Usually strong characters get spineless when their parents come to town or are around.
Yeah. All right, let's rank this.
I'm going to give it a 3.8.
Looking at it as a movie, I'm going to give it a 2.5. It would be higher if I were comparing it as a TV show.
Oh, it would be much, much higher if I was just reading the TV show itself.
Agreed. And I haven't even seen much of the TV show, but just I know I like the TV show better.
If this were on our TV list, I would rank it higher.
I thought Julia meant if we were ranking it in general as a TV show.
That is what I meant.
Oh, well, my bad. I didn't make that clear.
I was the harshest on this movie, and I'm going to give it the highest score, which hasn't happened in a while. I'm going to give it a 4, which gives us an average of 3.43, which puts it at number 65 on our list, between A Christmas Story Live and Switched at Christmas. So I'm so glad it's happier than Candace Cameron Bure. Sorry, Disco. And that puts it in tier 4. You'll shoot your eye out, kid. But I think we ranked it low because of it felt bloated, right? And it was lacked Christmassy. I think as a movie, it is slightly better than that, probably.
Yeah, like I said, if it had been a TV episode, I would have my ranking would have given it more grace. But I'm comparing it with actual Christmas movies, so that's tough.
Actual Christmas movies. Claire Doyle wrote, I used to watch this with my niece when she was younger. I see it's on Disney Plus, so I can give it a watch before the episode drops. Then Todd and Julia got into a little back and forth.
I
meant like a little dialogue, not like an argument.
We disagreed maybe for the first time ever.
What did Todd say about the show, Julia?
So Todd said something like, I don't have it pulled up in front of me.
The show is insufferable. Everyone is a moron. I can't disagree with the moron part.
Seems like strong words for our friend
Todd Killian at Christmas Clatter Podcast, by the way. And I was just really surprised because, I don't know, I just thought we were in line about more things.
You thought he was a nicer person than that? Is that what you're trying to say?
Did you notice his wife commented that her, and I'm assuming one of their children, Taylor, loves this show.
Yep, and Victorious is their next favorite.
Yeah, so there's a little house divided there on the Good Luck Charlie issue in the Killian house. Battle Royale. We did get a delightful review in the podcast app this week. Since we've been asking for reviews, you guys are really, really turning it up and returning to us. So I want to read that one. It's from Xander0527. And his review is Miser Brothers and Mother Nature. They've said it before. Tom and Anthony are the Miser Brothers and Julia is Mother Nature. Love the good-hearted trolling going on and how the three mesh together, even when they don't agree. One of my favorite Christmas movie review podcasts. Thank you, Xander.
Thank you, Xander. Awesome.
Thank you, Xander.
And I'm going to say again something I said offline. One of these Halloweens, the three of us have to dress as the Miser Brothers and Mother Nature. That would be a lot of fun.
I'm totally game for that.
I would like to read one comment from last week, just speaking about how we mesh whenever we don't get along. And this comment comes from McLean Slaughter. One of my favorite things about this podcast is how Anthony has very strong opinions on things, but doesn't ever presume that his opinions overrule or negate someone else's opinions. I would say, insert my own commentary, we all have pretty strong opinions about certain things. But anyway, he goes on to say, it's really inspiring to me to see how someone can care that much about something while still maintaining respect for other people's views. If we could all do that, we'd live in a much kinder world.
All I'm going to say is Anthony is a very creative editor.
I didn't edit that episode, so I don't know what you're talking about.
You had final view of it before it went live.
I did not change a thing except added the music.
Oh, boy. Oh,
I don't think I believe it.
Julia can back me up.
Anthony says a lot of things. Julia's not going to back you up. Julia's up to her troll game. She's going to just let this play out and see what happens.
She has up to her troll game. To the point, listeners, where between our Facebook group and Discord, like, holy crap, I had to ask Julia when she signed on tonight, Julia, are you mad at me? Because she upped her troll game so well. But no, Tom is just rubbing off on her.
I did tell you I was mad at you, but you didn't really seem to care.
Well, because you're not such a... Just like, it's like...
Just stop there. Just stop there.
My heart breaks. Tom gets mad at me. It's a Tuesday.
Oh, good times, y'all. Good times.
So we had a question of the week last week for us to ponder this week. So it came from our friend on Reddit. Well, watch it, buddy. And they wrote.
There's a reason I don't. There's just so y'all know, there's a reason I never read these. And that right there is it. Hearing Anthony read his screen name brings me so much joy. Watch it, buddy. See, we can't pull it off, Julie. We don't do it as well.
No, we don't.
They asked, there aren't that many Christmas Halloween movies out there. So if you had to create the plot of a Christmassy Halloween movie, what would it be? The sort of movies I'm referring to are The Nightmare Before Christmas and Krampus. We did get two comments on this, which I'll read to give you time to think about a question I'm sure neither of you have pondered up until this point.
Well, you would be wrong, Anthony.
Listener, usually Bedwards, wrote, I've been working on a kid's book for a long time that never gets finished, in which an imp, Krampus's version of elves, works really hard to switch sides and become an elf. He's sent in as a spy because none of the imps like him since he's too elf-like, and at first none of the elves like him because he's too imp-like. And of course he saves Christmas in a very half-impy, half-elfy way. And I remember reading that last week and saying, you need to finish that book because that sounds so adorable and really good.
Yes.
It does.
I agree.
And then
but
listener
the question Kendall, at the end of it, though, is he impish or admirable?
Well, if he saves Christmas, I assume he's admirable.
But he does it in an impish way.
So he is an admirable imp. So
that's the That is what we should change your description as on our website, Anthony.
Admirable imp.
You're an admirable imp.
You know what? I would totally be down for that. I can see that. That fits me well.
Doesn't it, though? That's adorable.
Tom, go ahead and change it. I'm the admirable imp of this show.
I will.
Listener Kendall Ferrar. Kendall, I know you say people pronounce your name wrong. How do you pronounce it? Spell it out phonetically for us in the Facebook group, because I want to make sure we're saying it right. Not like Jerry Davila, whose name we pronounced wrong for a year before he finally came on the show and taught us how to pronounce it.
Yep.
She wrote, I love this idea. I was listening to some jazzy Halloween music, and while I heard Ella Fitzgerald singing Old Black Magic, the idea came to me. Think Clue meets White Christmas. The setting is an old Hollywood Christmas party in a glamorous mansion where all of a sudden a murder takes place, filled with glamorous movie stars who are being hunted down by a mysterious murderer on Christmas Eve. The film would have to be full of great swing music like Frank Sinatra's Witchcraft and Nina Simone's I Put a Spell on You. The vibe I get from this would be less scary and more mysterious, lots of glamorous Christmas gowns, Christmas decorations all around, and snobby Hollywood professionals who consistently bicker and mistrust one another throughout the film. Sounds cool, too.
I would also watch that.
And I think the three of us could play the Hollywood professionals who consistently bicker and mistrust one another throughout the
No, we couldn't. It's a terrible idea.
Is it because we don't look Hollywood enough? Because we bicker enough?
It's because we don't bicker, Anthony, obviously.
So, y'all, what ideas have you come up with? Tom, since you said I was wrong, why don't you go first?
You were wrong. I like the idea of something a la Krampus, but with a twist of Santa and or his elves rescuing our protagonists.
So that'd be cool.
Instead of, you know, at the end not knowing what happened to these folks, having some sort of heroic act come into play, bringing the true meaning of Christmas, saving this family. I just think it'd be fun to see Santa as a hero triumphing over evil somehow.
That would be cool. I would watch that.
I hope that's okay of an answer for you, Anthony.
Tom, that was a lovely answer, and I'm actually going to piggyback off that. I would have liked to have seen back in the day, because obviously it's not possible now, a direct sequel to Santa Claus the movie. Like, they were clearly setting up to be a franchise, and it never got a sequel.
Kind of sad.
Where Krampus was the villain of the second one, and it was Santa versus Krampus, essentially. They could have done some cool, quote-unquote, horror, you know, family horror stuff with that.
Yeah. Right. So part of the thing
I would like to see, my second idea, would be a sequel set in the same world as The Nightmare Before Christmas, like maybe years later, where one of Santa's elves has grew up hearing the story about the time Halloween almost hijacked Christmas. So he ventures into Halloween to discover the Halloween traditions and wants to bring Halloween to Christmas Town. It's like the reverse concept.
Ooh.
And that's what I'm going to piggyback off of, because that was my first inclination. It wasn't so much with the elves. It was, what if Santa put himself in Jack Skellington's position? And wouldn't I like to see Santa get a little bit obsessed with Halloween?
Ooh, that's fun too. That could be
funny. Yeah, it could be.
That could be a lot of fun.
I was going to go that, Julia, but the Santa in The Nightmare Before Christmas didn't seem like a nonsense-y type. That's why I went the L. But sure. I like that idea too.
Yeah. I do too. That's fun.
It's cool. We all kind of had the same.
So with what I would be envisioning, I wouldn't want to go full-scale horror.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that with Santa's sleigh, and that was done. I mean, no matter how that was done, it was going to come out to be hot garbage, right?
I would only go horror as far as Gremlins or Krampus went, which was,
yeah,
it was
exactly.
Ultimately a family film with horror elements.
I agree. Thank
which is
you.
Funny because Krampus was rated R, but I still consider that a good fair.
It horror. Was rated R?
It was.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, no, it doesn't seem it when watching it.
It really doesn't. I guess it's just the frightening elements that add up to it. And some
But to Tom's point, I don't think it was very, like, I think it's tolerable for kids once they hit a certain age. But that's my opinion. Like, it's more whimsy to me than scary.
It is. And it does what I love most in horror films. You don't fully see the monster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, until the very end, which I liked.
Right. You're not, you don't know what you're facing, which is always, which grips me a lot more and sucks me into a storyline.
I mean, that would be one day, that would be a fun live watch to revisit, since that was one of the first movies we covered. That would be a fun live watch.
Oh, I would do that in a heartbeat, y'all. I would do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that would be
let's
fun.
Let's do it in October.
I'm down, because that would be a lot of fun.
Let's open up like some slots in our Discord and invite some listeners, first come, first serve basis.
So I want to hear our listeners' ideas for Christmas Halloween film. And I want to hear their ideas for next week's question of the week, which we're going to take a detour from We'll Watch a Buddy, who Gary Blauman referred to as his evil twin or doppelganger, who's trying to one-up him with the questions.
That was so funny.
I would say it's his arch nemesis.
His arch nemesis. It's Superman and Bizarro Superman. This week, our question comes courtesy of Ron, a.k.a. President Hot Dog, who wrote, "This week's question I have is inspired by Todd of Christmas Clatter Podcast. What director who doesn't do Christmas movies would you most like to see do a Christmas movie? For me, it's Quentin Tarantino doing a Black Peter movie in the style of a Blaxploitation movie." Hmm. And so that's something for us to ponder, but just to give us some ideas, because we did get a few answers already. Matt Urich, a.k.a. Gary Blauman, wrote, "Give me Christopher Nolan making some sort of mind-meld Santa thriller. That would be a trip." Scott of Holly Jolly Christmas wrote, "Akira Kurosawa directing the story of a young wandering Kringle who comes upon a group of elves beset by bandits. He has to teach them how to use their toy-making skills to fashion weapons to protect themselves. With stunning black and white cinematography, it would feature lots of shots of the Arctic sun, and the climax would be a poetic battle in a torrential downpour. Either that or Whit Stillman, whose film would follow a group of spoiled young elves as they spend the holidays sitting around talking about politics, economics, and the affairs other elves had at Christmas parties in the past."
Oh my gosh.
I have the winning answer that everybody's going to jump on, and I'm going to go on and say it right now.
Wait, one more. Disco 54 wrote, "Santa has a mid-millennial crisis, despairs at the hypocrisy of people just being nice at Christmas, and decides to just quit. There's no redemption, no inspirational moments that makes him see the error of his ways. He just comes to the conclusion that people are awful and don't deserve Christmas, so he stops. The problem is, if he isn't Santa, what is he? He tries being a regular person and he finds out it sucks. Sucks much worse than he ever could have thought. So he's forced back to being Santa, but changes the rules. He tries to force Christmas into what he wants to make it, to try to remake it and make people better. Problem is, they don't want to do that. People aren't willing to change, so they get rid of him, and now there's no Christmas or Santa." That sounds dark.
That sounds dark.
That's depressing, dude. I think there's only one right answer to this.
And?
Michael Bay.
Oh my gosh, God. Michael Bay.
All you have to do is mention his name in any context, and whatever you're talking about suddenly sounds terrible.
You get Megan Fox dressed in one of those sultry elf outfits and Santa's sleigh exploding.
For no reason whatsoever. And it can't be good exploding. It has to be like over-the-top CGI exploding, of course.
And Chris of Yuletide TV wrote, "Wes Anderson seems like an obvious choice."
He does.
And I believe he has even used Vince Guaraldi Trio music in his older movies. So
I feel like Wes Anderson and Quentin Tarantino are both just low-hanging fruit.
So I'll be curious to see what y'all come up with for next week and our listeners come up with. Where can they let us know their ideas?
Well, I'm going to go on and say this. I'm kind of surprised, the more I think about it, that we haven't seen a Wes Anderson Christmas movie.
Right? He's so atmospheric. I mean, talk about an atmosphere.
He is. Whatever he did would feel like Christmas.
It would.
Mm-hmm. Listeners, you can reach out and let us know what your thoughts are. Who would you like to see direct? What movie would it be that he or she would direct? Let us know by going to our social medias. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Facebook group, Twitter, or Reddit by typing tisthepodcast/Instagram, Facebook group, Twitter, or Reddit. and that will redirect you to all of our social media. Be sure to let us know what you think, and we will share your opinions with our listener, with all of our listeners next week. It's one of my favorite parts of the show.
Mm-hmm. And if you want even more content, check out Patreon. You're going to get a Haunting of Hill House episode this week before season two drops. Not this week, this month.
Yeah, I was going to say, we haven't recorded that yet, dude.
And if you're a Halloween fan, which it seems a lot of you are, judging from our Facebook group, your month of October is going to be stacked. 4 Halloween episodes, plus an episode along Halloween. And then November, we have a Thanksgiving episode planned to drop, and we just agreed to record an episode with Craig of Weird Christmas Podcast. Mm-hmm. So you have something to listen to on Election Day if you don't want to pay attention to the news, which I don't blame y'all.
It will not be political themed. The rule is no politics talk.
Yep.
It's Patreon, and the episode is an SNL light skit. Anyway.
But it's like no actual real politics, right?
Yes, no that's, real politics.
That's what
yes,
we're doing. Correct, I mean, there's of course going to be, how can we not have, you know,
an election themed thing for Election Day?
Yeah, but not
yeah, we're politics. Not going to get into our own politics. Correct. Can't promise Craig. We haven't leashed him, but the three of us won't get into our own politics. We saw your reviews years ago that we got too into it.
In all fairness, I don't think those were any of our listeners' reviews.
And if you follow us anyway on the socials, you know where we stand. At least you know where I stand. That's how Todd introduced me in his Merry Melee episode. Anthony Caruso, the guy who makes his political views known all across social media. So I'm fine with that. And then, of course, we'll have Christmas stuff coming up and Batman the Long Halloween. And we have tons of fun stuff coming up. So subscribe to Patreon, where for as little as $1 per month, you can get all this great bonus content, which also includes interviews with listeners and live watches and all this fun stuff. So check it out. No better time to be a patron.
I just finished the Long Halloween, y'all.
Wasn't it as good as you remembered?
It was good. It was good. It.
And if you want to help the show in free... Sorry.
Go ahead.
And if you want to help the show in a free way, leave us a review on iTunes. Every new review helps new listeners find us and helps us to spread the Christmas cheer 365 days per year. And it's a nice little Christmas present that you could give us for free during these burn months, because we put a lot of love into this show and we like the feedback.
Might one say the best way to spread Christmas cheer is sharing a review for all to read? Didn't work.
Well, we read them out loud, so here works.
Yeah, for all to hear. There we go. It does there work. You go. Thank you, Julia. Next week, we're doing the interesting Ben Affleck, James Gandolfini movie, Surviving Christmas.
Which also features the return of Catherine O'Hara.
It does. It does. It is not her best Christmas movie.
Far from her worst, though.
Then we are doing Black Christmas, the 2006 version, and I'm going
to
go on and
which start. Is the last one. The last one. Then we never have to revisit Black Christmas again until it's inevitably remade 5 years from now.
Probably next year. And
this one, Julia's hosting, too. Me and you have each hosted one. Julia gets the third.
That's funny.
The third and final one.
That's funny. Julia will do it right, so we don't have to revisit it. We'll say that. Then the next week, I know we don't usually talk this far ahead, but it is kind of going to be fun. We have President Hot Dog, Mr. Ron, coming on to discuss rare exports. if you want a foretaste of what that's going to be, you can go to the Filmship podcast and hear Anthony and Julia discussing this movie with gratuitous nudity in advance.
A shocking amount of naked men.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you watched it?
I've seen it.
Oh, you have seen it. I thought you hadn't. Okay.
I think I've watched it since y'all have done it.
Gotcha.
But Ellie didn't like it very much.
You say Ellie didn't like it very much. Oh, Lord.
I'm excited about it. Not of course you are.
There's gratuitous.
Not for the gratuitous
nude men.
But I am excited about it.
There's an obscene amount of nude men in this. I'm excited about it.
Tom, you're the worst.
And I'm adding it for it to be just a line. There's gratuitous amount of male nudity. I can't wait to see it.
Before we end the show, I want to just say something real quick about our, get on my soapbox real quick and say something about our Facebook group and our listeners. Mm-hmm. I've said it multiple times before, but we have the best listeners in the world. For anyone who follows me on social media, I do suffer from depression and anxiety, and this past week has not been very great for me. I called out of work all of last week, could barely get out of bed until Sarah got me out, and we did all those fun Halloween things over the weekend. But in addition to Tom and Julia, who I am totally grateful for and thankful for and love them both, they're both in my life, I love all of our listeners. You guys make the days easier for me with all of your funny comments and stuff in chat. And the ones of you who I am like actual legit friends with on my personal pages and stuff, you have all been so kind in reaching out, and I'm thankful for you all. And I just wanted to bring that up because it is Suicide Prevention Month, and you guys are awesome and make the days easier. So thanks, y'all.
We love our community. It really is the most special thing about the podcast. Yep.
And
it is a pretty cool group. I like most of them.
Going back to the origins of this podcast, I never thought we'd get like such an awesome little makeshift family out of the show.
Yeah. I like most of our listeners.
I like all of our listeners.
I stand by what I said.
You know what else I like? I like the fact there are only 2,304 hours until Christmas.
Hey, we are under 100. It's only 96 days.
We're at the double digits.
It is only 13 weeks until
that's so exciting.
Good time to do a spooky question, by the way.
Good time to do a spooky. Do you have a spooky question?
You did a spooky question.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you came up with another one.
No, Halloween horror. You remember? We literally just talked about this, Anthony.
I know. In my old age, my memory is getting worse and worse. I know.
Welcome to the club, brah.
You know, with that, do your homework, y'all, and we'll speak to you next week.
We hope you all have a wonderful, cheery week until next Tuesday. Good day.
That's weird.
Thought I'd drag it out this time.
I love you, Tom.